Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Friday, October 9th, 2020.
Bitcoin is up 5%, finally breaking that 11,000 over the last 48 hours, breaking that 11,000 mark up to 11,379. We are all so excited. I love seeing a plus 11,000 Bitcoin. ETH is also up to 375, not up quite as much, but it's up 7.15%, which is a good overall percent. We're all waiting for ETH to cross back over 400.
Okay, up first today, Yearn Finance creator Andre Kronja says he's quit DeFi. That's after the EMN token debacle that was from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he later, so the chronology here is that CoinDesk was exchanging Telegram messages with him. He was frustrated, said he was going to quit. Apparently was a bit afraid for his safety because people were threatening his life after the EMN stuff, said he was going to quit. And then just today, after they published this report, he actually tweeted out that he, in fact, was not leaving. So it is unclear what it is. He's become a bit of a poster child for DeFi. He was one of the first people to really pioneer this idea of a fair launch, where you launch in such a way that everyone has equal access, and you're not giving early access to any particular individuals. Yearn Finance is a cool product. It's obviously one of the AMMs, and it was a balancing pool on top of stuff. It was very early on these things, had great yields for a long time. YFI obviously has is a bit storied because of the way that there's only 30,000 total tokens, and they're trading at $16,000 a token right now, or probably more. I didn't even look at the price the last couple of days. But he got burned because people found that he had created a smart contract, published it to production, and dumped a bunch of money into it without knowing anything about it. And then there was an exploit in it that someone was able to dump a bunch of money out of it. He is a bit, I don't know if famous is not the right word, but he is known, or he professes to not test in production. So he did not have any, before he was even ready to go with these contracts, he pushed them in production, which I would consider incredibly irresponsible. Like, smart contracts that are going to take real money need to have extensive testing off mainnet. Then you cannot be testing smart contracts on chain. Now, is that okay? So that's on him. Now, it is equally absolutely freaking insane for people to just start throwing money at a smart contract because it happens to be signed, have a ID or a signature from someone like Kronja. So let's say two points here. One, never just send money to a smart contract. That is absolutely insane. Two, never test your smart contracts without pretty extensively testing them in test nets or on your machine. Do not do testing in production. It is absolutely a meme in developer circles. You're just going to test in production, which is totally fine with a to-do list, but is absolutely completely insanely irresponsible with a smart contract that's going to take real money onto it.
Okay, well, I agree. That does seem a little crazy.
It's crazy.
Okay, next, Square puts $50 million in Bitcoin on a crypto empowerment bet.
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, Square has been, and Jack Dorsey has been an enormous proponent of cryptocurrencies for quite a while. Now, Dorsey, obviously, as one of the Silicon Valley guys, kind of has a bit of a techno-libertarian streak to him. So he likes crypto anyways. They made a ton of money on crypto over the last, 2-3 years. And then their Square Cash wallet product made a bunch of money this year recently due to the stimulus checks, because you could basically get your stimulus check directly deposited to your Square Cash wallet. Square Cash, one of the major features of it is crypto. So basically, as people were getting their stimulus checks, so U.S. stimulus checks, into their Square Cash wallets, a lot of them were putting that money into crypto, which was then increasing their value, and they were making money on that. So they're big power. They're big believers in crypto. It's really, really exciting to see. I like it. I like Square. And then, more to the point, I mean, Square is obviously going to eventually come out with a point of sale solution for this. So, if I were there's a couple of POS solutions out there that take crypto. If I were those guys, I'd be real scary, or I'd be calling Square real soon to get into that to see if they would get the acquisition, because I don't want to be competing with Square when they flip a single switch and turn on crypto payments for the 100,000 merchants that use their platform. That is a game changer. We talk about game changers and hinge points for crypto. When Square flips on crypto for all their merchants, which I do not doubt that at some point in the near future they will, that's a game changer.
Okay, I agree. I'm excited for that day.
Yeah.
All right, next, the DeFi market cap has dropped by 25% in one day. It was a huge downturn yesterday.
Yeah, and this is the big brunt of this was Sushi, Uniswap, and Wi-Fi. Sushi was down 50%, Uni was down 39%, and Wi-Fi was also down a big chunk, 20% plus. Look, at the end of the day, those governance tokens that don't have real value will be incredibly volatile and will not hold their value across sentiment swings. So if you're invested heavily in tokens that really, Uniswap fits in this well. Like there, no one besides Binance can even do a frickin' Uniswap. The only benefit of the Uniswap tokens is that you can vote on Uniswap proposals. There's only one single address in the world that can even make a proposal for Uniswap. So it is such a BS coin and such a BS governance structure that has to be nearly insane. So the fact that people overvalued it as it did was already kind of very suspect. It was sort of this game of chicken, I think would be the best way to look at it. Everyone was kind of like waiting for someone to drop it, and then finally when it started going down, it crashed immediately because everyone was waiting for someone to finally pull the trigger on it. So, go out and find tokens that are that have genuine value, whether that is fees and revenue coming off the token itself, or that's control over like limited voting control that you actually have a say in over real assets, whatever it is. That's what you got to be looking for. Not these kind of real, like Sushi also super fluffy token. So it doesn't surprise me at all these things are crashing. Obviously it sucks for DeFi in general, but you notice DeFi is down. The DeFi transaction volume is down. Gas is back down to 40, 50 Gwei. Ethereum is up. So what does that say? That right there is a super interesting thing to look at. Obviously, the overall crypto market is up. Stock markets are also up. But what does it really say? The DeFi took a hit and Ethereum went up 10%.
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned this, but as DeFi deflates, the Ethereum users get a reprieve from soaring fees and congestion.
And this was a huge issue because at the end of the day, so we've gone through this before, right? This is very similar to the Bitcoin fee inflation explosion. And now we're seeing it again on this side. But this is actually really good for innovation because at the end of the day, it was costing, I looked at one point and deploying smart contracts, like deploying a relatively good sized smart contract, like a new DeFi product, was costing like $150, $200. So there's two extremes. There's what Cronje, which is doing, which was insane, which is testing, contracts in production, which you absolutely should not do. But then there's the other side of like being hesitant to even deploy to production because it is so insanely expensive to deploy a smart contract. I think we're getting to the point where we're in a more of a happy medium. We're in more of a happy like middle space for all this. And I'm hoping we'll actually see more innovation come out of this because more people can actually do cheaper kind of development work on the blockchain.
All right, I hope so. Next, Solana is set to launch a decentralized Ethereum bridge to power DeFi Ethereum liquidity, so it no longer goes through FTX.
Yeah, and we talked about this maybe a couple of weeks ago. So they've been making progress. They've finally kind of gotten almost to a point. They were already very much looking at the DeFi space on their own blockchain. Now they've kind of announced that they're actually doing more of a cross-chain solution here. We talked about this yesterday. We will talk about it again probably every 2-3 days for the next 6 months. But Ethereum itself has won this. All these guys that are doing these side chains are inevitably, I think what would be interesting would be if you end up with a really powerful, what I would consider like, if you end up with a really powerful blockchain that's really high throughput, in a lot of ways, something like Solana, what they're doing with their cross-chain tooling, or even like Dash is looking at how to do Wrapped Dash. We obviously have talked about Tron. all of these guys actually could end up being more of the layer two solution. Like a layer two solution is where work is happening on a higher throughput blockchain, not on Ethereum. These other blockchains may end up being the layer two, and then they might just publish their or push their Ethereum transactions or their main coin transactions back to the Ethereum blockchain. That's a very reasonable thing to happen, and maybe that's the way the world's going to go.
All right. And very quickly, we talked about this story extensively last week, but so far, more than 60 employees have publicly left Coinbase, taking the exit package after the CEO posted his controversial blog post and doubled down with their exit packages.
So the exit package is something like four months paid of a full pay severance and 6 months of COBRA or a health insurance coverage. 60 people for a company. It's hard to say who this is, but losing 60 engineers in the Valley is a enormous hit. It is a gut punch of enormous proportions. It takes months to hire engineers. So if you think of this in terms of man months of recruiting, this is man years, 10 man years of recruiting effort for these number of engineers. This is it's not a huge percentage of their overall engineers. I think they have something like a couple thousand engineers, but this is just the whole thing continues to be so insane that they came out and made this statement, drew this line in the sand, decided to make a big deal of it. And now you see people actually going off on it.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.